And it's good to be here in beautiful San Diego. Is the weather good outside? I've not been out there. Yeah? This is paradise. I went to a Padres game last night, and it was amazing. We won. Or you guys won. It's so good to be here with you all this morning. You doing good? So several months ago, I am speaking in Northern California at a church. And afterwards, I'm invited to be a guest at a family's place for dinner. And at this family gathering, there are the grandparents, the dad, his little girl, Fern, who is 4 years old, cute as can be, and myself. And for Fern, the rule for her 4-year-old girl is this. Whenever a guest is at the dinner table, you cannot leave the table until everybody's done. That's bad news for Fern because I am the slowest eater you will ever meet. And so we're sitting there at the table, we're eating, and Fern is getting a little bit antsy. And she lets me know it because I'm the last one eating. And her sighs are really audible. They're almost sarcastic in nature. And then she's 4 years old, correct? And she is smart. She thinks, Daddy, can I please be excused to go to the bathroom? Sir, but when you're through, you have to come back, remember? Yes, Daddy. She has gone for a long, long time. And then she comes back with a makeup kit of things. No makeup, just the makeup kit. And she sits back at the table with this makeup kit, and she dumps out everything that's in the kit. And using pretend, her imagination, fake makeup, she begins to take these things, and she begins to paint her daddy's face with pretend makeup. It passes the time. I'm still eating the slow eater that I am. And her dad leans in after a moment of time as Fern is brushing him up. Is that what you say, women? I don't know. I'm a guy. And so he's getting his face all made up, pretend. And he leans into Fern and he says, am I pretty? And without missing a beat, off the cuffs, her response was this, I don't see it yet. Well, forget dinner. I'm now off the chair, rolling on the ground, because that is hilarious, because kids say the greatest statements. And it made me think about our lives, your life, and my life. We ask the same question, don't we? Are we pretty? And our own response to ourselves is often this, I don't see it yet. And because we don't see it yet, we buy into this mechanism of lies. That we think we will be pretty, so to speak, if we have this, do this, be that, and do these other things over here. That will make us worth it. That will make us important. That will make us stand out. Are you with me? Are we pretty? Because some of you in this room today, you simply do not see it yet. And yet the whole time, your Lord, your God and Baker, he made you, right? Did he make junk? I don't think so. He made you. He made you, and so therefore, he sees you as absolutely beautiful. But you need to see that this morning. Because some of you are buying lies that are too high of a price to pay. And you're wasting time. And spiritually speaking, you are investing in the wrong thing because it does not pay dividends. And you're searching for truth. And God wants to give you hope this morning. He wants to give you his grace and his faithfulness and his love and his compassion and his glory. Do you have your Bibles? Yes. If you do, can you please turn to 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians, if you're not familiar, is in the New Testament. It's after Acts, Romans. Then it goes into 1 Corinthians. Acts is after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to 1 Corinthians, and when you get to 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 1 and look at verse 4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as we eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. The Lord Jesus, as we dive into your word this morning, or this afternoon, God, I pray that your truth would be revealed to us in a brand new, fresh way. Lord, glory be your name. Thank you for your faithfulness. And for your love for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we look at 1 Corinthians, and this book is written to the church of Corinth. And Paul writes this book, and he's writing to these people who are already sanctified, meaning they already want to be holy. They already have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes in to write about a couple things here. One being that they are enriched in every way. Another being that they do not lack any spiritual gift. Another thing is that they are confirmed. They don't lack, they're enriched, it's been confirmed. It's a sealed deal. You ever been through a drive-thru? Yes, you have. We all have. You drive up to the speaker, that metallic piece of metal, and you hear the voice on the other end in static form. Sometimes you can't catch what they're saying. Sometimes the connection's lost. But anyway, you and I are both speaking to this hollow box of a thing. And we place our order. Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, In-N-Out Burger. We know what we want, correct? Starbucks, you pull off your order and you're what? Your latte, foam, 180 degrees with thick ends whipped cream with whatever in two pie cups. You're so specific. In that burger, you order your double-double fries and a drink and standard Chick-fil-A, your chicken sandwich, waffle fries, sweet tea. Woo-hoo-hoo! And you have this system, we all do, that after a while, you don't even need to look in the menu. You just drive right up to the speaker. You know what you want, when you want it now. And so many times, I feel like you and I treat the Lord Jesus Christ like junk food religion. You go up to the speaker and place your order. Because you know at any drive-thru restaurant, once you place your order, you go up to the window a few feet from you, and you get what you ordered immediately. And so many times you treat God like that. We placed an order before him, and we want it now. We want it immediately. And if we don't get it immediately, we lose heart. We whimper away, and we walk the other direction, and we forget about God. Because our concept of who our Lord is junk food. It needs to be now. He needs to taste good to me right now. I'm going to place my order before him right now. And if he doesn't respond to what I'm saying, I'll just go the other direction. Going up through drive-thru windows for me is pretty hilarious, actually. Can we take your order? Yeah, I'm like, whatever. Are you tired? No, are you? No. All right, get this. Are you having a bad day? No, I'm having a great day. Are you having a bad day? And we begin this dialogue and they go, no, it just sounds in your voice that you're crying. You go, oh no, I just have a physical disability. Quiet. Pull up to the window. So I drive up to the window. And as I'm driving up to the window, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to have fun with this situation. I'm going to pull up to the window, and she's going to get me my food, and I'm going to start convulsing in my seat. But so many times, I feel like we treat God like he's junk food. We have to crave him to love him. We have orders. And if we place them and if they're not immediately, if they're not given to us immediately, we walk the other way. Why? Because it's not pretty. And we don't see it yet. Yet God doesn't work anywhere in Scripture does he work on our terms. He works on his terms and in his time when it's right. He is not going to leave you out to dry. He made you. He's not going to leave you in the tumbleweed of Arizona, the sand of desert places. You may feel that way right now, but he's going to pick you up and take you to the paradise shores of San Diego. He knows who you are. And if you are a child of him, you are enriched. It is confirmed, and you don't lack a thing. So what are you doing with your life? Are you wasting it? Are you hoarding it? Because you don't think you're pretty enough? You don't see it yet? People, what else do you need? We struggle. We all struggle in this room. I'm not perfect. I'm a wretched man, sinful, struggle with image, I struggle with self-esteem issues. Yep, I'll admit it. Yeah, I struggle with it. I hate getting stared at every day, pretty much. I hate it. I'm good looking, but come on, people. I hate being gawked at. I hate being judged. Or worse yet, I hate it when people see me with a physical disability and they interpret that something's wrong with me mentally too. Don't have that conversation with my friends because they'll tell you something, whatever. I hate it when people talk down to me. Can I help you? No. What is up with that? I've struggled my whole life with feeling that my life is foolishness. That it's weak. That something the world looks at that's despising. I feel lonely. I feel ugly sometimes. Am I pretty? I don't see it yet. Sometimes, that's my attitude. 1 Corinthians 1 goes on to say this in verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, the Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. In verse 27 through verse 29 is my personal space. It tugs at my personal space. And because it does that, these next couple of verses are my life verses. And this is what they say. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. God uses the foolishness of what you think is foolishness to your life. He uses those things that you think are ugly about your life, the despised things, the lowly things, the things that are not. He uses those things that make you feel so utterly, desperately weak to make your life a message of beauty, to convey the power of his cross in and through your life. And that is the message that he is working within my being on. Because so many times I felt like I've been foolishness. I don't measure up to the standards of the wisdom of the world. But God says, awesome. That's when you realize that this life has nothing to do with you, Chris. I got you right where I want you. You have to depend solely on me. Let me be that voice. Let me be that King, that God, that Lord of your life, that Savior of your soul. Let me do it. I will turn those ashes into absolute beauty. I will turn your life upside down. And the beauty of God's voice and God's wisdom has nullified the foolishness of what we think as a worldly society today. Am I pretty? I don't see it yet. But you are. I have a couple pictures I want to show you this morning. We'll just go right through them all. First picture is a picture of me in fifth grade. It's a picture of me with, what is that on the table? It's a typewriter. They don't make them anymore. When I was born with a condition called fine motor cerebral palsy, and so I was shaking my hands. I had to rely on a typewriter all through school, all through college, well, a computer then, to get things done. That's how I write today. When I was growing up, I was a, what the world says, a normal kid. I can run like the wind. You know, Pastor Ricky Page here at your church? He's my best friend. We've known each other since we were eight. We're brothers. We're not friends anymore. We're brothers. We're so a part of each other's lives. It's amazing. I would go to his barn. We would play with all over his acres. And he had animals, horses, chickens, rabbits, sheep, goats. It was amazing. Always outrun him. Always outdid him. I was always the best. You can tell him that. The next picture I want to show you is a picture of me a senior year of high school. I'm in a wheelchair. I go to bed one night in eighth grade. A dreamer. A lover of life. Enjoying the innocence of youth. Go to bed in eighth grade. I wake up the next morning. I step out of bed and my head falls forward. And I couldn't hold my head up. That started months of medical procedures, hospital visits, and tests. Overnight, I came down with a rare muscle and nerve disease that would change my life forever. And from eighth grade to my senior year of high school, there wasn't a day that got better. Every day got worse. People had to dress me in that picture. They had to bathe me. They had to put me in the bed. They had to get me up out of bed. They had to clean up my diarrhea messes because I would have accidents all the time. And Ricky was right there in the midst of it all. My life was hopeless. I felt absolutely foolish. I felt weak. I felt despised. I felt lonely. I felt like a freak. And ever since eighth grade, my life has been a battlefield of imagery and self-esteem issues and just struggling through the angst and the ebb and the flow and the push and the tug. You know, I'm a speaker. Absolutely crazy. Next picture, we'll show you a picture of this. My prom date. That's why I was wearing the tuxedo. Bow chicka wow wow. She could have gone with anybody in the school. Look at her. She's beautiful. And she chose me. That's right. Next picture is this. A picture of me and Bill Cosby. You learned that I was really sick in that picture. My my mom, who was right there. My mom had all the music planned that she was going to play at my memorial service. In that picture, my organs were failing. People thought I was going to die. Ricky was told this. And my friends. It was hard. It was miserable. My life just progressed to get worse, 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 and worse. Bill Cosby wanted to hang out with me for a little bit, so there we are. That's what I was wearing. That wasn't pink. It was salmon. And this picture here is high school graduation. Yeah, there it is. High school graduation. Ricky did that. He made my wheelchair look hideous. It says, good luck, congratulations. There's Deco Dice on the handlebars. And if you turn the wheelchair to the side, there were Mercedes hubcaps on both wheels. And I said, Ricky, where did you get those Mercedes hubcaps? Don't worry about it. Next picture is this. Wheelchair Olympics. I call those assistants. Those two ladies were wonderful. I called them the Golden Girls. The motorized wheelchair. Those are a blast to ride in. They're so much fun. Last picture is this. A swim meet. It says first place. They lied to you. I came in dead last. Swimming, of all exercises, of all things, is what God used in my life to help me walk again. And I didn't get involved in swimming to walk. I got involved in swimming because as a college student, I needed a PE credit. That's it. But I enjoyed it so much that 2.5 years later, water is therapeutic. Exercising through swimming is the best you can have. It's when I build up my strength and I start to walk in the water, then eventually I'll land. Now I'm driving a car. It's amazing. And I've been speaking now for 11 years. And who would have thought that this would be my life? Did you see me in the wheelchair just a moment ago? Who would have thought that this would be me today? I have so much baggage, people, that God is still working through in my soul. It always goes back to that question, am I pretty? Because sometimes I just don't see it yet. I don't want you to leave this building thinking, oh, poor Chris, he's really down on himself. He's just miserable. No, you missed the point of the message. I'm not that. I struggle with that. That's it. You struggle too. All right. I'm not saying these things because I'm down on myself. I'm saying these things because I'm a human being. Amen. I struggle. Hello. Every now and then. That's it. Don't feel sorry for me because I'll feel sorry for you feeling sorry for me. Kids are wasting emotional energy when that happens. Go think about something else. What is the foolishness of your life? What is the thing that makes you feel weak in your life? What thing in your life causes you shame and therefore it's despising? What's that thing that makes you lonely? Can it be, people, that God wants to use those very things of your life, those little insecurities of your life, to bring beauty to the masses? That he takes the wisdom of the world into the world's eyes and dulls it for his glory? He wants to use you now, not tomorrow, not next week. He wants you to be used now. Because he sees your beauty. He sees who you are. He understands it. He gets it. And he just wants you to trust him. That's it. Will you trust him with your life and take that risk? Will you give those things over to him that are just weighing you down and becoming such a consuming weight that it robs you of freedom? Are you spending too much time putting on your phony makeup? Not I'm not talking to ladies, I'm just the analogy. You're putting on your phony makeup, so to speak, and you're trying to do yourself up just so that you feel better. But in that process, you're wasting time. Because you're buying into a bunch of lies that will not take you anywhere. They will not satisfy. They will suck you dry. Are you treating God like he's a junk food religion? God doesn't work on your terms. He works on his. Stop placing your orders. And start trusting him with your life instead. He didn't make junk. He made you. He made me. To be vessels of his message of hope to people around us. To use our foolishness for his glory. Our weakness for strength. Our lowly self, sense of whatever we go through, for his might. You know why? Because counter to our culture, this life has nothing to do with you. It's not about you. It's about how God wants to use those pieces of your brokenness to shine forth. And for some of you, that has to start today. Because you've been enriched in every way, you don't lack a thing. It's been confirmed. That's your message. It's a message of hope. It's not a junk food religion. It's a life of peace that will surpass all understanding. It's about the glory of Jesus Christ in him alone. Nothing to do about you or me. Do you trust him? And start living. And stop dying. Live. Live for him. Die to you. But live. Get out there. And shine for his name's sake. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for your message of hope for each one of us. The worldly standards, wisdom of whatever it is that they claim to be pretty or wise is nullified in the message of your cross. Lord, you use each one of our lives to take that message a step further and give people hope who are around us. God, thank you for making us whole and complete and beautiful in your sight. Help us understand that the life that we live is not about us, counter to what our culture tells us. You're not a junk food or religion God. You're a God that's deserving of my praise and utmost respect and honor. You're a God of glory and faithfulness and love that chooses for whatever purpose and reason to use each one of us to be messages of hope for those around us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Bore the Father's wrath and fury.